present.
Thanks.
You're going to need a pen in your hand, and if you don't mind, I'll take questions at the end. So this is your Tudor paper. We do Y107, which is a later Tudor's. I'll just flag that to you now, because there is an earlier Tudor's paper, which is Y106. It has the same sources in the middle, the mid-Tudor bit, but it asks questions on Henry VII and Henry VIII, rather than Elizabeth. That's much nastier, that's why we do Elizabeth. Okay? So, just to say, if you're searching this stuff, always make sure that you're looking at the right paper. Have a look at slide one, then, please, ladies and gentlemen. Just have a look at it. You've got an hour and a half, and there's 50 marks. 30 marks are for the sources on the mid-Tudors. 20 marks are for your Elizabeth essay. And, of course, you will get a choice there. Okay? I've always felt that this should really be an hour 45, a two-hour exam. And the huge temptation, and maybe the first thing for you guys to write down as we go through this, the trap is to try to save time by cutting out the planning. And it is the single worst thing that you can do. In this hour and a half exam, you need to spend 10 minutes planning your sources and 5 minutes planning your Elizabeth essay. And it's counterintuitive, it goes against what you would expect. But if you don't plan, you're more likely to run out of time. You're also more likely to get a lower mark because you're more likely to describe rather than analyse. Okay, anybody want to ask anything on that? Fine. So I'm going to move over now. Oh, sorry, just one point on here. Roughly, you're looking to spend, so you're looking to write 4 paragraphs on the mid-Tudors and 3 with the conclusion on the Elizabeth paper. Okay? Okay. So here's something reassuring for you. We're on to slide 2 now. Here's something reassuring for you. You open your paper in your mock and you open your paper in the summer. And it will start with this sentence. Using these 4 sources in their historical context, assess how far they support the view that. Yeah? Now, what are the 3 areas that you need to know about? Well, let's just bullet point them down here. Stability of the monarchy, religion, and rebellion. But of course, and here's the thing I really want you to write down, these overlap. It is, to use that phrase we were using on the Russia course, a false dichotomy. Example. Think about the boy king, Edward VI. Think about the 1549 rebellion. Well, that has also got rebellions and, of course, it's got religion in there as well. In other words, guys, the next thing you need to write down is you can pull in evidence from anything that's going on at the time. Happy? Now, my strong advice to you, how do you prepare in this time short period in the run-up to your mock? My strong advice to you is if you're not doing so already, have your compendium of usefulness by your bed and read it at least once a week. And what's so clever about the way I've designed that, even if I do say so myself, is for each year you've got the 3 themes running. So you can actually look down. 2 other really, really useful things to look at. You want to look at the who's who bit that I've written at the end. And the last three pages are Ella's revision mind maps. Well, in the time short period that you've got, that's a really effective way to look at them. Okay? So I really would advise you to do that. We're moving on to slide three now, ladies and gentlemen. I think, personally, of all the different types of writing that you do, I think this source work is probably the hardest. And I put this third slide in here because the key thing you've got to be clear about is this, and I urge you to write this down. You must lead with your evaluation of your sources. And this is what OCR actually said to us. It is the application, sorry, evaluation is the application of knowledge to judge the validity of the source. This can either support its utility or challenge it. Okay? So you've got to evaluate it. So here's tip number three, ladies and gentlemen, for you to write down. Make sure, you know, I've got that sheet of evaluative language that we so kindly got from Little Heath School. Make sure you're looking at that at least once a week. Yeah? What phrases are you going to use to signpost your evaluation? Okay? I'm going to move on to slide four. So, this is just a summary of the first two exam reports. What do students get wrong? Well, they're so busy evaluating, we'll talk about what that evaluation means in a minute, that they don't focus upon the question. There's no reason why the question should take a position. Example, I think last year it said economic reason, enclosure was the most serious reason for rebellion. Well, that's taking a position. If it takes a position, that's easier. Yeah? That's helpful. But it could just say to discuss the different reasons for rebellion. So what I want you to write where it says focus next to the question, what I'd like you to write down there is, does the question take a position? I'll tell you now, in your mock it will. At some stage, the source paper will not take a position and you'll be asked to pull that out. That's probably going to be good news, because if you can do it, that's going to leave huge numbers of kids caught short. You must evaluate all the sources. Now, here's tip number five. Every time you use a source, actually just write the letter next to it. Because the first thing the examiner will do is they'll just check all the sources are used. Okay? That's partly why, when we come to the introduction in a minute, I want you to do it in that way. And for each source, you need to consider the provenance. Now, this has got to be sustained. And maybe here's the next thing to write down. You've got to avoid simple comment. Let me just explain that to you for a second. When you're listening to this back, you might want to turn to your yellow folder of A-star exemplar work. Yeah? What you don't want to do is have SC, simple comment, written next to your provenance. So in that, excellent answer that it was, the student says, well, this source has particular utility because it comes from an ambassador who whose job it was to give accurate information. Well, that's true, but it's a simple comment. Had he drilled it down a bit further and then said, and it's therefore surprising that this Catholic view is critical of Mary's actions, you're really getting there, aren't you? Yeah? So maybe the sixth thing you need to have written down there is you must avoid simple comment. A useful word for you to write down there, I would suggest, ladies and gentlemen, is because. Now, you must reach a judgment, and your conclusions are very important. Your conclusions give you an extra bite of the provenance of value-hating cherry. Yeah? If the examiner is on the margins and then you've done it very well in the conclusion, you might just tip them over. In my experience, you get lots of kids getting A's and high B's and then C's. You don't get many low B's, high C's, because they either do it and then boom, they're there, or they don't quite do it. Yeah? In other words, as soon as you can do it, you'll always wonder, well, how on earth could I not? Okay, shall we go on then, please, to slide 5? This is a useful slide for us because it says the skills that are expected. You're expected to interpret, i.e., you could write this next to understand each source. You're expected to be able to group these sources to help you explain the issue. That will get you to a grade D. If you're just using the sources to illustrate your understanding of the topic, at best you'll get a D. And there will be kids putting in appeals from all over the country saying, oh, all these clever things. But they haven't done the third bullet point here, which is evaluate the source for provenance. And you need to lead with this. When I mark your mocks, I will be asking myself, how much have they evaluated the provenance of each of these sources? I probably would just highlight them. Yeah? Apply contextual knowledge. Again, it can't be simple comment. So, you'd expect a Catholic to say this. It's simple comment, yeah? However, if it's a priest in the north of England, well, this is a Catholic stronghold, so you'd expect them to be resistant to the Edwardian prayer book. That's advanced. Notice use of the because there. Yeah? Analyse the sources in relation to the question. Now, in a little while, you'll see a paragraph, conclusion paragraph, from the exam board that they included in their 2019 mark scheme. A really good thing, which is perhaps something I didn't stress enough last year, in your conclusion, is to rank the provenance. Yeah? It's just another way of interacting with it and pulling provenance to the top. Okay. So we here at LBS use this silly mnemonic. I'm moving on now to slide 6. We use this silly mnemonic, COP. You need to talk about the context and the origin of the sources, and I'll talk about those in a second, but it's really about the purpose or provenance. Okay? At its simplest, why does this source exist? What is it trying to do? So, let's have a look at the C and the O first of all, and then we'll really kick in with the context. So, moving on then to slide 7. The first thing I would do when I'm faced with the source is I would look up the information around it. That's a golden tip. We'll call that tip 5. I've lost count. I'm not a mathematician. All right? Humour me. What information is there? There will be no information added around.
This is
irrelevant. Yeah? It will tell you, that's why you need to use your compendiums of usefulness. What is happening at this moment? Yeah? I think you need to know that because we're talking about such a short period